You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Bible Church in Oakville, Ontario. For more information, please visit our website at hopeoakville.ca.
My name is Owen, and I have the privilege of being on staff leading our young adult ministry here. And I am excited to get to open up God's Word with you today. So you can open up your Bibles to John chapter 4. That's where we're going to be today, is John chapter 4. We are nearing the end now of our summer. Our summer series has been looking at the miracles of Jesus, the wonder-working power of Jesus. And this miracle that we are about to look at in John chapter 4, it's actually unique to the Gospel of John. It is the healing of the official son. Okay, it's different than the healing of the centurion son, different miracles. But what we see here is we see Jesus' power over sickness. We see Jesus' care for our lives. But even more so, what we're going to see as we dive into this passage is we see Jesus take this official from a shallow type of a faith to a deep faith. We see Jesus take this official who was so desperate for a sign, thought what he ultimately needed was a sign, and Jesus is going to show him what he needed more was a Savior. So that's why today our passage is the wonder-working Savior behind the sign. And so what do we mean by deep faith? What do I mean by deep faith when I say that? So let me explain to you a little bit. I feel like many of you don't know me, but I have to confess something. I have to get something off my chest real quick. And that is this. I am terrible at gardening. Like I'm so bad. Like I kind of admire plants. Like I think that they're pretty. You know, I think that they smell nice. You know, I like that they give me oxygen. That's nice. I can admire plants and I can appreciate, but I don't know the first thing how to take care of them. Like I'm so bad with plants. In fact, just to give you an example, like when I got an office upstairs, I started to ask around to the other staff, like, hey guys, I'm thinking about getting some plants for my office. What kind of plants should I get? Do you know what each of them told me? Don't do it, Owen. Don't get plants. Please don't get plants, because we know you, Owen, and we know those plants are going to die, right? Like, those plants have no chance if you're taking care of them, Owen. You're terrible with them. Don't try. Don't do it. So I did what they told me, and I got fake plants, and somehow those are still dying too. I don't know how that works. Here's the thing, though. Hey, I don't know really the first thing about taking care of plants, but I know one very basic thing. It's this. I know that if a plant's roots are shallow, it's vulnerable, right? Like if a plant has roots that don't descend deep into the ground, it's easily plucked up out of the ground, right? If a plant has shallow roots, it is going to be more likely to wither. It's going to be more likely to get scorched by the sun. It's not going to be resistant to storms. If a plant has shallow roots. But if a plant has deep roots, like if a plant has roots that descend deep into the ground, like we're talking giant oak tree type roots, man, that thing is going to be resistant to storms. It's going to draw up sufficient nutrients for it to not just survive through weather, but thrive through the weather that comes. So what we must strive for, and what Jesus does for this official, is he takes him from a shallow type of faith to a deep one. So here's a good question. How do I know if I have shallow faith? So we're gonna unpack this for a few minutes just before we get into the text, because we want to get real clear right now. What does shallow faith look like? I want scripture as much as possible to answer the question, what would shallow faith look like? So on the screen for you, shallow faith would be self-seeking rather than Christ-seeking, okay? You guys remember 2 weeks ago, Pastor Greg, he spoke on the feeding of the 5,000. Well, something interesting happens in that passage, because we actually find out what happens to the crowd the day after Jesus performs that miracle. The crowd gets hungry again, and so they want another meal, so they go back to Jesus because they want another meal, and Jesus calls them out on this, and he says this in John chapter 6. He says, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." See, this crowd, they wanted another meal. They didn't want Jesus. They had a shallow type of faith that was self-seeking. Hey, I'm hungry again. What do you got? They didn't desire Jesus. It's a shallow type of faith. What else? Shallow faith can be this. A shallow faith could be all head and no heart. We know the Pharisees, they had a lot of knowledge. They knew their scriptures well. In fact, they had large portions of the Old Testament memorized. They had a lot of head, but Jesus calls them out on having head and no heart. Here's what Jesus says. He prophesies from the book of Isaiah, a passage that they would have known really well. And he says this about the Pharisees. He says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." See, a shallow faith can say the right things and not do the right things. A shallow faith can have, it can talk a whole lot about God, but not actually talk to God. Shallow faith can know a whole lot of things about God, but actually have no affection for God. Right? A shallow faith, it might be all head, but no heart. What else? Shallow faith might be this. It might be all talk and no action. In Titus 1, it says this, they profess to know God, they got talk, but they deny him by their works. So there's a disconnect between what shallow faith says and what shallow faith does. Okay, so a shallow faith might come in here on a Sunday morning and enjoy a Sunday morning, but shallow faith might enjoy Saturday night more. Shallow faith might come in and listen to the word on Sunday morning, but then leave and listen to the world the rest of the week. There's a disconnect between what shallow faith says and what shallow faith does. It might be all talk and no action. Lastly, this. You guys remember the parable of the seeds, right? The parable of the seeds, Jesus talks about exactly this illustration that we're talking about. What happens when the root is not deep? It's vulnerable. It's weak against trials. And so Jesus says this in Matthew 13 in the parable of the seeds. He says this, "Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away." Hey, just in case we weren't really sure what Jesus was talking about, he explains his own parable. So just a few verses later, he explains it. He says this, "As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away." The roots are not deep. They're shallow, it's vulnerable, and it's weak against trials. This is what shallow faith looks like. And so, church, I just have to ask you, as we get into this passage, do any of these describe you? Do any of these describe you? That would just be one reason right now to lean in. Why? Because this passage is about Jesus taking the official from a shallow faith to a deep one, and I believe he wants to do the same thing with you in here today. To go from a shallow faith to a deep one. What does deep faith look like? Well, that's what our passage is going to answer today. So let's get into it. John chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 46. "So he," that's Jesus, "he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, 'Hey, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe.' The official said to him, 'Sir, come down before my child dies.' Jesus said to him, 'Go, your son will live.' The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way." So point number one today, hey, what does deep faith look like? First of all, it looks like this. Deep faith seeks the Savior, not just the sign. Deep faith seeks the Savior, not just the sign. So the scene is set. Jesus is on his journey north to the city of Cana in Galilee, and there's a royal official 18 miles east in the city of Capernaum, and he hears that Jesus is coming. The text doesn't say exactly how he hears, but we know that this official, he's desperate, right? Like, his son is sick. We can only imagine how long his boy was sick for. We can only imagine how long this fever had gone on for. We can only imagine, but verse 47 tells us his son's at the point of death. He's not getting any better. It's just getting worse. It's not getting better. This official is almost certainly a royal official in the service of King Herod. So money and resources are not an issue, right? Like, they sought the doctors, they bought the medicine, they tried everything that they could possibly do to help this boy get better, and it's just getting worse. This official is desperate. So we can only imagine everything that he tried, but for any parent in the room, man, we don't need to imagine the level of desperation that this official has, right? Because as a parent, man, you know what it feels like to have a child sick and to have no solution. Like, to see your child's fever just going up and up and up, and you've tried everything, and there's nothing you can do. You've ran out of solutions. And so in a last-ditch effort, this official says, maybe this Jesus guy can help me. Maybe Jesus. It's his last-ditch effort. So he goes, and he rides the 18-mile journey to go and find Jesus. In verse 47, it says that he asked Jesus to come down and heal his son. That word asked, that's very lightly translated in the ESV. It's more like he begged. Like, this is a persistent, Jesus, please, my son is dying. Would you please come down now? My boy, he's sick. Jesus, I need you. Please come. He's begging Jesus. So after hours of panic to go and find Jesus and then begging Jesus, what would Jesus' response be? What would he say? Well, verse 48, he says, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. What's going on here? What is going on here? Like, the official is probably thinking, Jesus, like, I don't need a lesson right now. I need a healing. What is going on? Would you please just come now? So what's going on? Well, in verse 48, that word you is important. Some of your Bibles will have a footnote next to the word you when Jesus says, unless you see signs and miracles. That word you is plural. It means that Jesus is talking to the official, but he's talking to more people than just the official. Who is he talking to? He's talking to the Galileans as well. What do we know to be true about the Galileans? Well, actually, rewind with me to verse 43. So the verse is just before our passage. Verse 43, after the 2 days, he, Jesus, departed for Galilee. Why? Verse 44, for Jesus himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his hometown. Verse 45, so when he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast. So we know a couple things to be true about these Galileans. One, this is the same Galileans that were at the wedding feast where Jesus had turned the water into wine. And number two, we know that the Galileans welcomed Jesus back. But every commentator agrees when the Apostle John writes that the Galileans welcomed Jesus, John is being ironic. And we can interpret this from verse 44. Jesus says he has no honor in his hometown. The Galileans are welcoming Jesus, but here's what's actually happening. They want more wine. They're like, cool, Jesus, what's going to be the next party trick? Like, this is just the carpenter from down the road, and wow, he can make wine out of water. Cool, Jesus, hey, what you got next? Hey, they wanted the wine, but not the winemaker. This is an ironic welcome. So when Jesus tells the official, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe, he's taking this moment to call the people out on their awe and wonder for signs while they're completely missing the point. They're missing the one who's doing the signs. But that's not what deep faith does. No. Deep faith seeks the Savior, not just the signs. And in fact, one of the signs that you and I might have a shallow faith is when we only go to God in crisis. You see, that's what the official is doing right now. But the official right now, he has more desperation than he does faith. It's a shallow type of faith. He only desires a sign. He's not really seeking after the Savior. The Galileans, they just want more wine. They don't want the winemaker. See, a shallow faith and a deep faith are similar in that they will both go to God in times of crisis. This is important. Shallow faith and deep faith will both go to God in times of crisis. The difference is that shallow faith seeks after the Savior just for the sign, while deep faith knows what they ultimately need is the Savior himself. Deep faith seeks the Savior then, not just the sign. Shallow faith, it wants the gift not the giver. Shallow faith, it wants the wine, not the winemaker. Shallow faith, it wants the miracle, not the Messiah. Shallow faith, it wants the sign, it doesn't want the Savior. Hey, listen, it is so appropriate to ask God for things. Jesus himself invited us to, in the Lord's Prayer, ask for our daily bread. We should be going to God and asking for things. But if you and I, if we, all we do is go to God for the thing, then we miss the greatest part of Christianity, which is Christ himself. It's the Savior behind the sign. That's the greatest part, not just the gift, not just the sign, not just the miracle. So we could be watching all these miracles all summer long and being like, cool, what's the next party trick? But we missed the Savior himself. It's the Savior behind the sign. That's the point. And one of the greatest examples in Christian history of what deep faith looks like is the example of Corrie ten Boom. Many of you will be familiar with Corrie ten Boom. She was a Dutch Christian during World War II, where she and her family built a room in their home to hide Jews from the Nazis. It's estimated that her and her family's efforts helped save the lives of over 800 people. But ten Boom's story is that she and her family would eventually get captured. They'd be brought to a concentration camp where she and her family would endure unimaginable suffering. If anyone longed for a miracle, it was Corrie ten Boom. If anyone had the right to ask for a sign, it was Corrie ten Boom. But what we see in her writings is the power of a deep faith that found its love in its Savior more than in just what the Savior could give. Here's a quote for us from Corrie ten Boom. Often I have heard people say, how good God is. We prayed that it would not rain for our church picnic, and look at the lovely weather. Hey, yes, 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 God is good. Yes, he is good when he sends good weather. But God was also good when he allowed my sister Betsy to starve to death before my eyes in a German concentration camp. How could she say that? How could she be in the middle of some of the worst evil that this world has ever known and still believe in the goodness of God? How could she say that? It's because she believed in this next quote. This is another quote from Corrie ten Boom. She says this: you may never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. And you may never know that Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. I long for a deep faith like this, don't you? Long for a deep faith that can long for its Savior and say, Savior, you're enough. If you don't give me one more thing, it's enough. She saw her Savior, not just the sign. Hey, do you think Corrie ten Boom asked for a sign? Do you think that she prayed for a miracle? Absolutely she did. She definitely prayed for a miracle. But what she experienced is that through all of the suffering, her Savior alone was better than anything she could have asked for. Church, do you have this type of deep faith? Do you believe that what you need more than the gift is the giver himself? And could it be that one of the reasons why God has not given you the thing that you've been asking for is so that you would realize what Corrie ten Boom did, is that more than the thing, you need him. More than what you're asking for, you actually need God himself. Could it be that he's withholding back so that you would realize something greater, that the official is realizing, hey, I don't just need a sign. No, I need the Savior. I need God. I need Jesus himself. The official comes to Jesus in desperation, but he leaves with faith. Hey, could it be that maybe you've been here all summer and like the Galileans, you're kind of saying, Jesus, cool, what's the next party trick? Hey, what's the next miracle, Jesus? And you're kind of being entertained by Jesus, and you're kind of thinking, yeah, Jesus, that's water into wine, that's pretty neat. Hey, you healed some lepers, neato. Friends, if all you're stuck on is the sign, we're missing the greatest part, which is the Savior behind the sign. And a deep faith, it will seek the Savior, not just the sign. Yes, it's right to ask. Yes, it's right to pray for miracles. But we long for the Savior more than the sign. You see, a shallow faith doesn't do this. A shallow faith is a transactional faith. A shallow faith goes to God, hey, what's next? What's another sign? What's the next sign? What do you got for me? What do you got? Hey, what's next, Jesus? Can I get another sign? Can I get another sign? It's like a child who goes to his parents only for more money and never for anything else. It's a transactional relationship. It's a transactional, shallow faith. But the deep faith that realizes its ultimate need is the Savior himself. You know what this does too, right? As you begin to buy into this reality that what I need more is the Savior, this builds an ongoing trust in the Savior himself. So it's not a shallow transactional relationship with God, but an ongoing, deep relationship with God. So deep faith seeks the Savior, not just the sign. Keep reading with me, verse 51. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked, I love this verse. I love verse 52. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. Verse 53, the father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. And he himself believed in all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. So deep faith seeks the Savior, not just the sign, but secondly this, deep faith sees the Savior through the sign. Deep faith sees the Savior through the sign. So the official, he believes the word that Jesus said to him. In fact, in verse 50, when it says that the official believed the word, it's actually like it's saying he took Jesus at his word. Like, that's as good as done. I believe what Jesus said. He believed him and he goes on his way. But on his way back home, his servants come rushing out to meet him. His servants are coming out and they say, hey, your boy's alive. He's doing okay. He's fine. Your boy's gonna live. He's okay. And I can just see a smile on the official's face as he asks this next question. He's like, hey, what time was it? What time did he start to get better? What time did my boy start to recover? He said, yesterday at the seventh hour. It was yesterday at 1 p.m., your boy started to recover. He says, hey, the official knew, it says. He knew that was the hour when Jesus said to him, your son will live. There's actually more that's happening here, though, that's not obvious at first glance. So remember, the official, he was 18 miles east of where he met Jesus. This means, assuming he rode a horse, which he almost certainly did, he got to Jesus at 1 p.m., he hears from Jesus, believes in Jesus, and if he wanted to, he could have ridden right back home, got there in 4 hours, 5 p.m., he's there with his family. But it says that the servants told him it was yesterday. It was yesterday at 1 p.m. that your boy was recovering. So the official waited till the next morning to come back. Seems kind of strange at first. What's going on here? The text doesn't explicitly tell us this, but I think this is what's happening. The panic of the shallow faith of the official on his way to Jesus is being contrasted with the slow, trusting, deep faith of the official's ride back home. See, the official took Jesus at his word. He believed what he said. So in some way, he's kind of like saying, I'm in no rush. My boy's going to be good. I believe. Believing is seeing in that moment. Like, I believe that my boy is going to be okay. I'm in no rush. I'm in no hurry to get home. And that's a direct contrast from the frenetic, panic, desperate ride to Jesus. So the text doesn't say it explicitly, but it's possible the official found a place to stay that night. Maybe he had a great night's rest. Maybe he sipped his coffee in the morning, and he was like, okay, time to go home and see my boy, because I know he's okay. He took Jesus at his word. See how much this encounter with Jesus has deepened his faith. It's deepened his faith so much that he's intentionally, purposefully seeing his Savior through the sign. That's why he asks, right? That's why he asks, hey, what time? What time was it? You see what he's doing? He's purposely connecting the sign to the Savior. He's purposely seeing his Savior through the sign. What time was it? Tell me. Man, I know that's the time that I was talking with Jesus. Hey, listen, this is exactly what signs are supposed to do, because for him, it made so much more sense for him now. He's not going to let his love, his appreciation, and his gratitude stop at the sign, but he's going to let it go through the sign to the Savior who's behind the sign. And this is what signs are supposed to do. We all know this. If you're riding down the road, we all know what signs do. Listen to the dictionary's definition of a sign, because we know this. A dictionary's definition of a sign is this: an object, quality, or event whose presence or occurrence indicates, listen, the probable presence or occurrence of something else. The dictionary gets the point. The sign is not the point. It's the thing that the sign points to that's the point. We all know this, but let me give you a few examples. I'm from up north, and if you're driving up north and you see one of these signs, it would be silly of you to appreciate the sign alone. Man, that's a great sign. Hey, what a nice yellow they chose to use. Hey, what a cute animal. I wonder what kind of animal that is, hey? So, man, you're missing the point. The point is that the sign indicates the probable presence of something else. So a moose crossing sign means the probable presence of moose, right? We know this. The sign's not the point. It's the thing that the sign points to. What else? Let's just say you're running down the hallway, okay? You got a good pace going. You're in a rush. You see this sign, and you don't stop to think, I wonder what's going on in that sign right now. That's a great sign. Very nice, even shape in that triangle. Sign's pretty nice. Hey, not only are you missing the point that the sign's pointing to something else, you're about to break your back. Yeah. Okay, one more. I don't even notice how many more speed bumps there are around these days. Man, speed bumps are everywhere right now. Let's just say you didn't know that, and you're ripping in your car 80 kilometers down the road, and you see this sign, and you're like, oh, great sign. Great sign. And you don't stop to think that this indicates the probable presence of a speed bump. Say goodbye to your bumper, okay? That thing's gone. Why? Because you're missing the whole point of the sign, that it points to something else. This is exactly, though, what the official is doing right now. He's saying, hey, my boy got better. That's my savior. He's connecting the dots. He gets it. Deep faith realizes that the sign is not the point, but the sign points to something else that is the point. That's a mouthful. Signs do this all the time. But church, listen, how many signs of God have you seen but driven right by? How many signs of God have you seen and said, well, that's a great sign, and move on? You're missing such an opportunity to experience the worship and the gratitude and the awe and wonder of the Savior behind the sign. It points to a Savior. It's not there alone. Again, though, shallow faith does this all the time because it's transactional. It gets the sign. Great, got it. On my way. What's my next sign now, God? What's my next sign? Let's get the next sign. What's the sign? Shallow faith will do this all the time. Deep faith, it looks for signs everywhere. Deep faith, it looks for signs everywhere. Why? Because every single sign that deep faith looks at, it's more and more evidence of a Savior. More and more evidence that there's a Savior behind the sign. So yes, deep faith might ask for signs. Deep faith might love the sign, but it loves the sign because it knows that it's evidence of its Savior. Deep faith sees the Savior through the sign. And you know what this does, church, right? As you begin to see more and more glimpses of your Savior through all of the signs that he's giving you, what's happening is your faith begins to deepen. Your roots begin to get a little bit deeper. And your faith grows because it's now it's seeing its Savior more and more clearly. That's how your faith grows. That's how your faith deepens, when you get a clearer picture of your Savior. Your faith doesn't deepen. Listen, your faith doesn't deepen by trying harder. You're not going to wake up tomorrow and be like, faith, today's going to be a good day. I'm going to will myself into faith. That's not how faith grows. No. Faith grows as you get a clearer and clearer glimpse of your Savior. Tim Keller says it this way on the screen for you. If you're falling off a cliff, strong faith in a weak branch is fatally inferior to weak faith in a strong branch. Salvation is not finally based on the strength of your faith, but on the object of your faith. Here's what Tim Keller is saying. You're not going to deepen your faith by self-effort and will. Willpower alone is not going to deepen the roots of your faith. No, willpower is not going to do it. Faith deepens as you get a clearer view of the object of your faith. It's not about the strength and the purity of your faith. It's about the object of your faith is in. That's why the weak faith in a strong branch, I'll take that all day. Why? Because Jesus is the object of your faith, and I can count on that. I can't count on my willpower. I can't count on myself trying to muster up some faith tomorrow morning. That's not going to work. I get deeper faith when I gaze upon my Savior more and more clearly. That's what the official is doing. He had an encounter with the Savior. He leaves, and he's still trying to see his Savior through every sign. He's connecting the dots. He knows his faith is going to deepen because he's seeing his Savior through the sign. The official, he came with a shallow faith, seeking a sign, but when he saw Jesus, but when he had an encounter with Jesus, he believed him, he trusted him, and his faith deepened. So church, your faith is not going to deepen by looking inward. You're not going to look at your own faith and be like, let's do this today. That's tragic. It's not going to work. No. Faith does not deepen when you look inward, but when you look upward. When you gaze upon your Savior, when you can see your Savior through every opportunity. And so we do that. We look to Jesus because it was Jesus who, it was through Jesus that this world was created, and it wasn't through you. Jesus stepped down out of heaven. Jesus lived the perfect life, not you. Jesus faced the entire wrath of God. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Jesus rose from the grave. Jesus has ascended back to heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Jesus now holds the keys to death and Hades. Jesus is currently reigning from heaven, perfectly in control of all things. Jesus is sovereign. Jesus is love. Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus is the lion and the lamb. Jesus is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Jesus is God. And one day soon, he's going to return to judge the living and the dead. This is the clarity of who our Savior is. This is the object of your faith, church. This is how your faith deepens. It's by gazing at your Savior. But shallow faith misses the opportunity because it's too easily satisfied with the sign. Deep faith is like, sign means a Savior. That means a Savior. And I know that I gaze at my Savior through the signs, through the scriptures, and I'm good. Not because of my self-effort, but because of the object of my faith. And hey, I love what happens too when the official returns home. In verse 53, it tells us, he himself believed in all his household. You see, deep faith is contagious. Just think about it. The panic of this husband and father who left the house versus the husband and father who came back. His whole demeanor would have been completely different. Why? Because he had an encounter with Jesus. He met his Savior, and he realized that's what he ultimately needed. Now he's got him, and he's trying to see him everywhere he goes. His family witnessing this, witnessing not just him telling about Jesus, but showing a heart change. It's contagious, and it was spreading to his family. Man, I long for a deep faith like this. So church, if you, like me, are longing for a deep faith like this, what do we need to do? Well, we need to seek the Savior, not just the sign, but see the Savior through the sign. Pray with me. God, you are so good. Thank you for examples, God, like this official who maybe came to you in desperation, came to you with a type of shallow faith, but he left with so much more. God, he left with the very words of Jesus, which he counted on. He counted on that they were as good as done. God, I pray right now that as we sing this last song, and as we move into this week, that our hearts would be swelling up with gratitude, with worship, with appreciation for not just the sign. God, you're so good for giving us signs. But God, you are so much more than just what you give us. God, let us worship the giver and not the gift. Let us love the Savior and not just the sign. God, let us fall deeper and deeper in love with you as we walk further and further with you and our relationship gets deeper and deeper. God, that's what I long for. I long for a deep faith. I long for a deep faith that can withstand trials. I long for a deep faith that does not get easily plucked up. I long for a deep faith that is walking so closely with its Savior that it's good. I know the object of my faith. I know him. He's got this. So God, would you just well our hearts up with gratitude right now as we sing this last song? In Jesus' name.